Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Psalm 124 and verse 1, this is a song of degrees by David, said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then, you know, this is probably one of my most favorite scriptures. I quote it so many times. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. It's hard to know where to start preaching tonight. There's so many good things in here. But I'm going to preach for a little while tonight just on that thought. They that trust in the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you tonight for your wonderful word, for your presence in this house. What a privilege it is to stand, Lord, before you and in your presence again. Lord, let us hear what the Spirit would say tonight. Lord, fill our hearts, Lord, with this word. Let it find good ground. Let it change us and challenge us, encourage us tonight. We're going to praise you for every bit of it, Lord. We thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands real good to the Lord tonight before you're seated? Maybe give him a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're thankful for him. God bless you. You can be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. You know, that's the thing in the world today. There's this psalm, and then going into the next one, is not only about finding help in times of trouble. It gives us this knowledge that we know that the Lord is a very present help, and we know that we have help in him. But when you read through this, at least when I read through this, I see it's about us, the church, the body of Christ, the believers. It's us progressing. It's us growing, maturing, and then this transition that comes into our life that leads us to a permanence in our walk with God and in the kingdom. In other words, we're fixed in this place. We're rooted and grounded in our faith in God. And just like storms will blow and come against us, we stand in the midst of the storm. I remember, used to hear it a lot, and I just remembered, I guess it made an impression on me as a young saint when Brother Hart was preaching on the saints' endurance and God helping them. But he said that, you know, when you think about these trees, he talked about how a palm tree, he said, in the storm, he said, it'll bend over. He said, but when the storm's over, said, it just comes right back up and it stands back upright. And we are the trees of the Lord, the planting of the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And I believe we'll endure some storms, but I believe that's the key word. We will endure some storms. God's going to be with us. And in this, the psalmist start out, he said, in twice, he mentions it twice in these first two verses, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Seems like today in the world, everybody wants you to pick a side. Whose side are you on? If they can get you on their side, they want you to be on the side of their cause, on the side of their position, on the side of their party, on the side of their outlook. And many times when they're doing wrong, they want you on their side. They try to gather people to their cause, their so they can be justified in what they're doing. They want as many people as they can get on their side. So they can say, all these people are with me. But you know, it reminded me of Moses coming down off the mountain, and he looked at the people and he said, who is on the Lord's side?
Yes.
And I wonder today, who is on the Lord's side? Praise God. And not only that, but I'm glad that the Lord is on our side. But what I learn here and what I apply to myself in this and in my walk and in my faith with the Lord is that, who am I aligning myself with? Because he goes on and says that if it hadn't been for the Lord on our side, we would be swallowed up. Waters would overwhelm us, streams over our soul, proud waters over our soul. We could be prey to their teeth, but our soul is escaped. The snare is broken and we are escaped. And he just keeps talking about victory and victory and victory. And so I realized that with aligning myself with the Lord, having the Lord on my side is the key for victory and the key to successful living for God in this world today. I don't need to be aligning myself with gossipers and backbiters and unfaithful people and unholy people. That's why the psalmist would say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And you be careful about who you line yourself up with, who you get on your side today. And you be careful whose side you get on. Be careful about just letting anybody pull you into their cause or to their effort. You better be on the Lord's side if you want victory, if you want success. And so I'll make sure that I'm aligning myself with the Lord. And when I do that, I'm assured to come out of it victorious and on top. He said, when men rose up, you don't have to worry. Don't fear what people say. Don't worry about what they do. Don't worry about how they act. Because if the Lord is on your side, you're going to come out on top. That's it. The psalmist said in one place, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And then he asked the question, what can man do unto me? When I think about the goodness of God, what man thinks he can say or do doesn't add up to very much because God is for me. And if God be for me, then who can be against me? Come on, somebody. I'm glad to know tonight that the Lord is on my side. And if it hadn't been for the Lord that had been on my side, I know somebody else in here could testify to that and can amen that tonight, that if it hadn't been the Lord, I wouldn't be here tonight. If it wasn't for the Lord watching out for me, if it wasn't for the Lord encouraging me, if it had not been for the Lord reminding me that he loves me and that he's for me and that he's got me and that he'll pick me up, friend, if it had not been the Lord, I wouldn't be here tonight. And let me tell you, young people, some of y'all a lot younger than I am in here, if it was not for the Lord, you wouldn't be here tonight. You could be choosing anything else in this world if you wanted to, but somewhere you tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and you've made a decision that I'm going to get up and go to the house of the Lord. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust him, and I'm not going to give myself over to the world. I'm glad, friend, because they that trust in the Lord, they're going to still be around. They're going to be hanging out. Look what and just that the Lord on my side, that's not just a Old Testament concept. This is New Testament. Look at Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, what the writer said to the New Testament church. He said, let your behavior be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he, which is God, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, that's having that confidence that God is going to be there. He says, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is on my side. The Lord is my helper. Because I know that he's there, because I know that he'll never leave me or forsake me, I can boldly say, that the Lord is my helper. I don't have to look over my shoulder to see if he's there. I don't have to look around to check and see if he's there. Honey, I know he's there because he said he would be there. He said he wouldn't leave me, and God will not lie. God is true to his word, and he's faithful to his people. And I'm glad to know tonight that they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot. He said, cannot. It doesn't matter how hard they try. You know, in the world today, if they want to build a road through a mountain, they could do it. They'll get some dynamite. They'll get some trucks. They'll do what they've got to do. And before you know it, they got a hole through the middle of that mountain. If they want to take the side of it off and carve something in it, they'll just blow it up and do it. That's what they can do in the natural. But I'm telling you that it doesn't matter what the enemy tries. It doesn't matter what this world throws at you. That when you trust in the Lord, you will be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. You want to ensure you're going to make it all the way home? You want to ensure that you're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Honey, then get on the Lord's side and get him on your side. Come on, somebody, because God is with us, and we live in a world where perilous times are upon us. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse. The love of many is growing cold, and there's a great falling away today in the world. But they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Let them huff and puff, and they can't blow the house down. They can't come up with anything that can dynamite you out of the way. The Lord said, you just trust me, you ain't going nowhere. You'll be there. That's how good God is. This permanence that we find in these scriptures, in these promises for our walk, it must contain that one overriding principle, that they that trust in the Lord. The scripture says when a man comes to God, he first must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must trust that God is and that he is who he says he is. We must trust in God to become like Mount Zion. I love that scripture so much. When I read it sometimes, I'll just look at the words. They that trust in the Lord shall be. Now, notice he didn't say they that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Shall be infers that that's what I'll be when the situation arises. It's a future tense of being. He's telling you that no matter what comes your way, when you trust God, you shall be. And they that trust in the Lord shall be victorious. They that trust in the Lord shall be more than conquerors. They shall be comforted. They shall be fed. They shall be covered. They shall be blessed. They shall be delivered. They shall be encouraged. They shall be protected. They shall be saved, friend. You just go on and on and on. But they that trust in the Lord shall be whatever they need to be. They shall be whatever God wants them to be. Yeah. Nothing can change the plans that God has for you except you. Yes. Right. That's why Paul had that revelation, and he said, nothing shall separate us from that love. Nothing present, nothing that's coming, nothing. It can't separate you. It can't change what God's working in your life. And the only thing that can change, that's you. Only you can resist him and stop him and say, no, Lord, I won't go. He never pushes us and forces us into anything. And I'm glad tonight that if we trust in the Lord, we shall be strong, permanent. You know, you can see a mountain. Mountains are oftentimes they're landmarks, they're attractions, they're things that people can see. And you can see the mountain. And God's saying, you just trust in me and you shall be seen. Not that we're trying to be seen for a reputation, but you'll be seen for my glory. You'll be seen so people will know this is what I do. This is how I take care of my bride. This is how I take care of my people. This is how I take care of my church. In a church, in churches often today, we have this mountaintop and then valley culture. And everybody wants the mountain. I want the mountaintop. I want to be on the top of the mountain. We see that. That's what I'm trying to get to. That's the pinnacle. That's it. If I can just get to the top of the mountain. We used to sing, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. We're all about going up and going up, and we should be moving up. But we want to stay away from the valleys because people assume if I can just get to the top of the mountain, I'll be all right. The mountain is all highs, and the valley is all lows. But guess what? Storms still happen on the mountaintop. You know that even in Georgia, we got a famous mountain right here, Stone Mountain. You know that it records hundreds of lightning strikes every year. The top of the mountain. If you've ever been on the top of the mountain, you can see where the lightning has struck the top of the mountain. But it's a mountain. It should be fine. It's the top of the mountain. There should be no danger up here. Snowstorms, thunderstorms, fog, wind, avalanches, hot, cold, steep, rough. Guess what? The mountain still gets sun, but it also still gets the night. And weeping may endure for a night. Sometimes in the night, we don't like the night seasons, but guess what? Even the mountains get night seasons, but they're still there. The mountain abides. After thousands now, hundreds of thousands of lightning strikes, Stone Mountain is still there. It's been there through snowstorms. It's been there through tornadoes. It's been there through all kinds, through the hottest summers, through the coldest winters, and yet it's still there. Yes. The elements, the storms, they did not do away with it. And that's what I'm trying to help you and I see tonight, that trouble does not have to do away with us. If we can just get the mindset, I just got to quit trying to figure it out and just trust God. Quit trying to understand everything. I know that's us. That's that curious human nature. I just need to know. I need to know. I need to know. And sometimes God says, you're not going to know. Just trust me. I'm not telling you. Trust me. Just believe in what I'm doing. Because mountains still have the same weather as the valley. So is it valley lows or is it valley highs? I think to us who trust in the Lord, it's all the same. Psalm 23 and 4, the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. Man, there's a confidence that comes in the valley when you trust your shepherd. There's a confidence. I know where I'm walking, but he is my shepherd. I will not fear. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so here he is, and I'm walking through the valley, and I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the same thing that the writer in Hebrews said, for he has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. When I'm in the valley, it's when I find myself closer to God than I've ever been. God will draw nigh to them that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He won't despise it. He gets close to people that are wounded. He gets close to people that are hurting. He gets close to people that are sick. He gets close to people that are worried. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I won't send somebody else, but I'll come to you. Not just my general vicinity, but he comes to me. Some of the greatest highs I've ever experienced have been in the valley. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then verse 5 says, and now I find a table spread in the presence of my enemies. I walked right through this valley and ran smack dab into the table of his blessing. Praise God. Some of our greatest highs will be from the valley. Someone asked me not too long ago, we were talking about why do we think it was maybe that people saw so many miracles back in the day, in old time Pentecost, seemed like miracles and signs and wonders just followed. And I thought on that, and I realized I just jotted some things down tonight as I was studying. But I understand this, that for the miraculous to occur, there must be a need. And then there's going to have to be an acknowledgement of that need, because need is where trust in God will birth the miraculous. Praise God. When there is that need, I'm not talking about some little ordinary everyday thing that we can fulfill ourselves. I'm talking about when there's something going on that only God can work in, when we trust Him with that thing, that trust and that faith in Him and that need in God, it births the miraculous. And when I look back through the scripture, just looking back at the disciples that walked with Jesus, it was in the storm where they saw the water walker. Great fear was on them. Thought it was a spirit, but it was in that storm where they saw the wave walker. It was in a sinking ship where they met the peace speaker. It was in a desert place where they met the provider. It was at a dear friend's graveside in the midst of grief that they met the resurrection and the life. Yes. It was through tears of anguish and grief that Mary is the first to see the risen Savior. Yes. Woo, somebody. It was in a prison, in the innermost part of the prison at midnight, with bloody noses and shackles on their hands and feet, that the earth shook and the chains fell off and the door swung open for two men that trust God and prayed and praised anyway. It was Peter who was asleep between two guards awaiting execution, and he is awakened by an angel and led forth to freedom. Friend, that's where the miraculous happens. That's where we, when it gets tough, we don't give up. When it gets hard, we don't quit. When it looks out of our hands, it's not out of His hands. That's when we start trusting Him. That's when we open our eyes wide and say, I'm going to see a miracle. I'm going to see God work in this situation. Friend, sometimes you might be between a rock and a hard place like Peter was, but if you can just trust God, just go ahead and take you a nap, because God's going to come through. He had to wake him up and shake him, say, come on, man, let's get out of this place. You'll get so comfortable, you won't even think nothing's wrong anymore. God will bring you out with a high hand. God will work the miraculous. That God that did those miracles is the same God we serve today. And I know it seems just out there. It's amazing to me that the world has such a hard time accepting that God is still working miracles, because they can watch the most craziest things, movies and things on TV, and think how real that looks. And it's all fake. It ain't real. But boy, they can believe, and then they can believe in all this supernatural garbage that's going on, and they get involved in all kind of crazy stuff, chanting and seances and all kinds of trying to bring up stuff. Why not just trust in that one great spirit who is the Savior of all men? You want to see something great? Trust the Lord. You want to see something great? Call on the name of the Lord. You want to see something great? Lay hands on the sick in the name of the Lord and pray a prayer of faith. Don't be rolling the dice with the devil. Don't be rolling the dice with spirits, but just trust God. Be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Oh, if you love this life and you want to stay in this life, then trust God. That's what gives you that permanence in the kingdom. Trust God. Believe in Him. 1 Peter 4 and 12, Peter told us, you're going to have troubles. Beloved, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, like some strange thing happened to you. Even Job told us, shall we receive good things at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil? He didn't say the Lord was giving him evil. He said, but we're not going to be blessed by God and escape evil in this world. Things are going to happen. We're human. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen nature. And it's in our flesh is enmity against the spirit. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And it won't be subject to God. It can't be. So we have to put it under subjection through the spirit. And that's how we just keep trusting God. But he said, think it not strange. I tell you what you do. You think it a chance. Think it a chance for God to move. Think it and think it a chance for you to stay unmoved. I ain't going nowhere. I'm on a solid rock. I got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. My wife used to sing that. They'd throw babies around, man. They'd run the aisles, be pitching babies to one another. Got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Yes, sir. Get somebody with a good tambourine and, boy, they was going. Think it not strange. And don't think it's because you're doing something wrong. Now, if you're examining yourself and you know you're wrong, repent. But just because something happened doesn't mean you caused it. Sometimes it just comes your way. Sometimes it just happens. It's life. We trip, we fall. It happens sometimes. Things go wrong. Things go sideways. Think it not strange. Think it not evil. Think it as a chance for me to see God work the miraculous in my life. Think it as a chance for me to build my faith and trust in God. Think it something wonderful. Praise God. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 7. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. Trust in God. We've got this treasure in earthen vessels, and that the excellency of the power may be of God. We receive power from him after the Holy Ghost come upon us. There's that power. And it came from God, not us, not man, not our righteousness. It came as a gift for the promises unto you and your children. It came from him, and it's not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. Praise God. You cannot be removed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Troubled, not distressed. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Every time you get trouble, the enemy wants you to be distressed. Every time you are perplexed and confused, the enemy wants you to go to despair. Because that's when you latch on to despair and distress, you're headed down. You got to let go of those things and just say, I'm going to trust God. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. You cannot be removed. In verse 16, he said, for which cause we faint not. He said, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I will not be afraid of what man can do. He said, I'm not worried about what the flesh can do, because the flesh, man, this world, they can't touch that inner man. Yes. He is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The presence of trouble does not diminish us, but it simply magnifies who we are. Hello? Trouble only magnifies who we are. They that trust in the Lord. The mountain of who we are is never clearer than when we're being tried. when we're going through it and we're standing. You don't look like a little pebble. You don't look like a little rock, but you look like Mount Zion, yes, which cannot be removed forever. It ain't going nowhere. We must endure hardness as a good soldier. If we faint, the scripture says, in adversity, our faith is small. And if our faith is small, our trust is small. We don't quit. We don't turn around. We don't back up. I don't trust in things. I don't even trust myself. I don't lean on my own understanding. I trust in the Lord. I would never trust myself above God. I would never say, God, I know you better than you know me. Or I know me better than you know me. He knew me before I was in the womb. Praise God. He had called my name before I was ever named. He knows me. Everything about me, seen everything I've done. He knows what I think. God knows me better. I trust in the Lord. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will call on the name of the Lord. We're going to trust in the name of the Lord. That's who I trust in. And he said, we don't look at the things that we can see. Those things are temporary. But that unseen hand that I cannot see, that keeps holding me up, that keeps pulling me up, that keeps leading me on and leading me through, that's what I trust in, because that unseen hand is eternal. Praise God. Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, brethren. Saints, beloved, be strong in the Lord. God's church is not weak. Upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we hear the word and do the word, he said, you're like a man who built his house on the foundation and it stood every storm that ever came its way. And I'm telling the church tonight that God's people are tough, that God's people can make it, that God's people are stronger than they ever thought they can be. You can be meek, you can be humble, you can be lowly, but you don't have to be chicken, you don't have to be a coward, you don't have to lay down, you don't have to surrender, you can stand strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Let me tell you, I don't know how old David was, 14 years old, some people say, when he went out to face Goliath. Well, I tell you what, I don't think Goliath was scared of a 14-year-old boy. And nobody that was in Israel's army thought a 14-year-old boy could do it. He couldn't even wear Saul's armor. It was too much. All he could carry was a bag of rocks and a sling. You know, you see these drawings and movies and stuff sometimes, and they'll show David all like he's been in the Gold's Gym. He was a shepherd. He's writing songs on the backside of the pasture. His strength come from God. While he was a boy, he killed a bear. While he was a boy, he smoked the lion. Because it wasn't about his size, it was about the one that was in him. And let me tell you, it ain't about your size, it ain't about your pedigree, it's about the one that's inside of you. It's about your trust in God. And God's church is powerful and God's church is strong. And we don't have to back up and lay down for the world. We can stand up and say, oh no, we're not going anywhere. The church will abide. Praise God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. I don't need you just acting holy when I'm around. He said, but now much more in my absence. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That don't mean your eternal salvation. I don't believe. I think you figure out how you're going to get out of this. Work it out with trust in God. Work it out with reverence to God. Work it out with his word. He said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Praise God. If something goes wrong, don't go with it. I've said that before. Actually, I think I heard Brother Harvey, Patrick Harvey, say that one time years ago, and I have hung on to it. If something goes wrong, don't go with it. Work it out by trusting God and trusting His Word. Because He has plans. It is God which worketh in you. He has plans and He intends to see it through. How about us? When Jairus came to get him because his daughter was about to die, he gets him. They're delayed along the way. They're moving steadily. They've seen a miracle. In that time of great sadness, Jairus saw a great miracle. A woman, 12 years, issue of blood, healed immediately. Her faith made her whole. And they're walking, and about that time, these people come from Jairus' house, and they say, "Hey, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the Savior anymore. Don't bother the Master anymore. Just come on home. Let's get the funeral going. Let's bury this girl. Let's take care of things. Come on, it's time to go and bury your hope, bury your dreams, bury your thoughts of seeing your daughter healed. Just bury all those things that you knew were going to happen." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Don't be afraid. Only believe. You came to me. I'm still with you. I didn't leave when they said she was dead. I got plans, brother." So you still in this? We still going? Or are you sending me packing? What you going to do? Too many times we send the Lord packing. Resolve to bury those hopes and dreams and promises instead of holding on to what God said, believing it was going to come to pass, believing His truth. But Jairus says, "Let's go." They went on to the house. Long story short is that Jesus walks in the room and says, "Maid, arise." And this little girl was alive that day and presented back to her mom and dad. God's with you. God's with you. And they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot. Not maybe, not might. He said, when you really trust me, you ain't going nowhere. He's an anchor. The scripture says He's an anchor to the soul. You ain't going nowhere. Praise God. He's still work, you know. "Well, Pastor, here's these things that pastors hear all the time. Well, Pastor, you know, God's still working on me." Okay. Well, so you can't live for God while He's still working on you? He's still working on me. I've been living for God since 1993. He's still working on me. I've been pastoring for almost 19 years. God's still working on me. Well, I'll take that church one day, Lord, when you finish. Well, you'll never take that church. And it ain't because I'm in that bad of shape, I hope, but it's just like God will continually be working on us until it's time to go. Yes. Until it's over with. Until our time is done. And but people, it's so fun. "Oh, I got to have everything just right before I can live for God." What a cop out. Yeah, that's right. Cop out. Excuse. Lame excuse. Lame-o. Loser. "God's still working on me. He ain't finished yet." Well, He ain't going to be finished until you walk through the gate. You don't have to wait till He's done to live for God. You don't have to wait till He's done before you pray for somebody. You don't have to wait till He's done. Praise God. Listen, every time we trip and fall, the Bible says we're in a race. Run this race with patience. Have you ever been in a race? Any of y'all run track in school? Who run track? Nobody. Man, we ain't got no athletes in this house. You ever field day? But you know, if you were in P.E., and they make you run that 440, try to kill you while you're in high school. But if you fall while you're running toward the finish line, you don't get up and go back to the starting line. You get up where you fail, yeah, and you start from there. Yeah. You're still in the race.
Yes.
When somebody falls, it ain't like somebody's throwing a flag. You're out. You can lay there and let everybody go by and let it end. Or you can get up and keep running. Did you forget how to run just because you fail? Did all that training that you took, did it just disappear when you hit the pavement? Mm-mm. I've watched Olympic races, and I've watched, I will just search great comebacks, you know, things like that, underdog victories and things like that, because I love to watch somebody come back and win. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. And I have watched people fall. And when them Olympic folks are running, they on the gas. And if you fall and stop for a minute, it don't take a minute. They way out in front of you by the time. But I've watched them get up, and you just see them closing the gap. It's like all of a sudden they got this super burst of speed, man. It's like, where did that come from? And all of a sudden they're back in the race, and they're passing people. And before you know it, they're crossing the finish line, and everybody's celebrating, going like, you fell. We thought you were out. We thought it was over. We didn't think you'd even be in it, and you won first place. Yeah. Well, I didn't forget how to race just because I fell. And you know what? When you fall, there's going to be somebody saying, yeah, I thought you'd be done. I thought you was over with. We thought you were out. Prove them wrong. Yeah. Get up and keep running. Prove them wrong. Yes. Get up and keep going.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, I got the skint knees to prove it. I fell. But let me tell you something. I didn't stop. I didn't quit. I didn't surrender, and I didn't give up, but I kept going. And I'm standing on the podium. I got the medal. I won the race. And the Bible says, they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. One that trusts in God that shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. He can't be took out of the race. He can't be knocked down because he trusts in God. He will always finish first. I don't know about you, but if I'm running, if I fall, I fall forward. I've never been running in a straight line and I fail 5 yards backwards. You always fall in the direction. Even when you fall, you make progress toward where you're going. The fall was never meant to end you. But even in the fall, you're reminded in which direction you're going. And I don't think there's ever a great, to anybody who is competing, there's never a greater moment of realization, I've got to finish, than when you fail. I've got to get to the goal. I've got to get across the line. I've got to finish this race. It just magnifies what you're doing there. We've got to press on. In Philippians, and I'm getting ready to, Trying to wind up. Let me look at the clock. Oh, I got plenty of time, 10 minutes. I can do this. Philippians chapter 3, Paul said this about himself in verse 12. He said, let me go back to the, oh, God's still working on me. Okay. This is what Paul said. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I ain't reached it yet. I'm not perfect yet, but I'm still following. You better believe I'm going to be following. I'm following if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Hey, brethren. Hey, bros. Hey, beloved. I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not saying I've got it in my grip yet, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forth to those things that are before. I'm not perfect. I ain't got a grip on it yet. But I am not going to stop reaching forward. I'm not going to just give up. I'm just going to make sure that I keep reaching forward for God. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything else you be any otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. But then, I didn't give you this verse, I don't think, but the next verse he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. You don't drop back. You maintain where you are. Don't let people pull you back from places you've already reached. No, you may not be perfect yet, but don't let them pull you back into things that you walked out of. Don't let them pull you back into lifestyles that you turned your back on. You walk to where you have already attained. You'll keep growing. You'll keep maturing. You'll keep learning. You'll get revelation. You'll get more trust and more faith. You'll just keep going and going and going, just like the Lord said we would. You shall be. You're going to keep moving and growing and going. It's going to happen. But don't stop. Don't let nobody pull you back to a life that God delivered you from. Paul testified of his life. He said, oh, the battle that's in my flesh, the war that's in my members, the good I want to do, I can't figure out how to do it. The evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing. This flesh, this sin in my life, it keeps hindering me. I've got battles in my flesh. I have thorns that I want God to take away. But God said, no, for my strength is perfect for you. My grace is sufficient. And in your weakness, I'm made strong. So, Paul, just keep going despite the thorns. Just keep doing it. You can do it even with the thorns. And with all that Paul went through, all that he endured, all the battles, even his, I'm the chiefest of sinners, I'm the least of the apostles. He never lifted himself up. He says this in 2 Timothy 4, in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. That's saying a mouthful. Oh, God, I pray that when I'm laying there knowing it's time that I can say, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, let me fight. Let me finish. But above all, let me keep the faith. Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, I pray, Peter, I'm not praying this sifting off of you. He said that Satan desires to have you to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. He didn't pray the sifting away. He said, I'm just praying that you don't lose sight of who you believe in. I'm praying you don't lose that faith in me, that the one you walked on water with. I pray that you won't lose faith in the one you saw resurrected. I'm praying that your faith will not fail. Paul said, I've been through it. We could all say this. I've been through many things, made mistakes, lots of them. But I have kept the faith, and the faith kept me. If you keep the faith will keep you. Faith kept me. I just started jotting down things, thinking about myself. I've done my best to keep the faith. So I've kept the faith, and it's kept me praying. It's kept me praising. It's kept me shouting. It's kept me preaching. It's kept me striving. It's kept me reaching. It's kept me going on. It's kept me steady. It's kept me calm. It's kept me in peace. It's kept me strong. Friend, it's kept me every day, kept me every time, and kept me in every situation. Woo! When you keep the faith, it'll keep you. We have troubles, but we trust in the Lord, and we are still here. You can come to the music, darling. I forgot to tell you, I was winding down. You can stand with me. I don't know what you're going through, but I've lived for God long enough to know you're going through something. And if you're not, you're going to. Not trying to rain on your parade, but just trying to tell you, think it not strange. I told the story of that when some of y'all that got baptized here, people was hugging your neck and loving on you and praising God with you and saying all kind of good things, uplifting you, and you're like, yeah, this is great. Welcome to the family. Praise God. Man, I was still wet. And this brother walked right up and got in my face, close talker, right here. Ooh. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that is to try you. I mean, friend, I was right out of the water. I had no idea what he was talking about. I was like, okay. I went home, looked that up, because I was like, it must mean something. And I went and I just started reading about those kind of things. So, okay, I guess I need to be on the lookout. You know, I was all happy. I thought, what, nothing bad ever gonna happen again. I was wrong. But when it came, I said, I done read about you. I read all about you, and you ain't got me. You can show up, you can show out, but I ain't quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. Oh, no, I've come too far to fail him now. I've come too far to break my vow. Oh, no, I'm not going nowhere. Brother Larry used to sing that song, I've crossed the hot, burning desert. Let me tell you, I've been through some hot deserts. I've been through some cold nights. I've been through some storms. But I'm still here. I'm sure there's a lot of people didn't think I'd be here, that this church would be here, that it would have lasted, that it would be here almost 19 years later, but here it is. And I feel like if the Lord tarries another 19 years, it'll still be here. Yeah, because we're going to keep trusting God. We're going to keep believing in the Lord. We're going to keep believing His promises. We're going to keep preaching the gospel and preaching that truth. And God will not fail.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.